Welcome to Michigan Ice Guys, podcasting to help you fish hard water better.
Hey guys, it's Chaz, it's MI Ice Guys. It's the middle of winter, we have ice, and my God, has it been cold. It has been so cold, there's been days I haven't wanted to go out on the ice, and that is a rarity. But, you know, I spent a little time out there, and it was rough out there fishing. But I do have a special guest in the studio with me because most of the other MI Ice guys are in Bulgaria. But we're going to get to talk to a few of them later in the show. But I have the girl that we affectionately call the Drill Maiden. Jake Meek's fiance, Erin, is in studio. Say hi, Erin.
Hi, guys.
So Erin decided to come in and join us because I promised that we'd go to sushi dinner afterwards. And do a little recording while the guys are gone, and I thought we'd ask Erin a couple of questions, you know, about how it is fishing with Jake, because we fished with Jake overseas and partied with Jake and stuff, and he talks a big talk when you're not around, but I thought we'd get the real story this time. So you guys have been a NIFC team for how many years?
I think this is our fifth year being on the NIFC.
Fifth year.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you ice fish before you met Jake?
No. Actually, when we first met, Jake told me that he loved ice fishing, and I had no idea what ice fishing was. And so I went to Barnes & Noble and bought a book on ice fishing and what it was and just kind of studied up on it. And we still have that book today, but...
Now, was there anything in the book that Jake was doing wrong, according to the book?
No.
Oh, okay. See, I'm looking to hang Jake here a little bit, but... No, it's very interesting because, you know, we don't see a whole lot of the females out on the competition circuit. There's basically the ones I can think of are you and Janice Bodecker.
Yeah.
And Janice doesn't even always compete with her husband. Sometimes it's a brother-in-law that she's out there competing with. So it's really kind of cool to see, you know, some women getting into the sport and enjoying it, because I know that when I go out on Reed's Lake, when I go out in other places, I see a fair number of females that come out and enjoy the sport. So it's great. Now, on the team, Jake tells me that you're always the captain. Is that just on paper, or is that the whole way through?
That's just on paper, I guess. Jake is super competitive, and I'm typically not as competitive as him, so I'm more... bounce ideas off and tell him when he's wrong, of course, but he likes to kind of lead the way and direct a lot of it, and so he is the true captain.
Well, I know from our perspective, from a distance, when we're out on the ice, we see him point his arm and say drill.
Yeah.
And so one of the very common sights when you'll see Erin and Jake out on the ice is that Erin's got the drill and she's off punching a whole new bunch of holes, and Jake's got his head stuck in the camera or fishing or something like that until they get on the fish. Now, when you guys get on the fish, he lets you fish, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. usually I'm more the first one, is once he says that there's fish, I'm dropping the drill and running and getting the stuff. And then he's stuck with the camera, and it's just how it is. But
well, that's really cool. Now, when you guys get home, who fillets the fish?
Jake does. He flays them. I wash them and bag them. So,
all right. Well, that's cool. Everybody's got to have their roles, you know. When when Steph and I go out, most of the time it's I fillet and he washes and bags.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're at his house and, you know, he knows where the stuff is. I brought a knife. If Chad's there, it's like a 3-man disassembly line. Chad will fillet them. I'll skin them and separate the carcasses, and then Steph washes them and usually has the fryer going at the same time.
Mm.
So you'll have to come over for one of our days when we hang at Steph's house. It's a lot of fun.
That'd be great.
Now, you guys have, you fished the championship this year.
No, we did not.
You guys didn't make it out to that?
No, we didn't. It falls right before Christmas usually, and we have family all over the place, and so typically we don't get to make it, unfortunately.
Okay, but you fished at least one tournament so far, right?
Yeah, we went to Alexandria, Minnesota. It was about an 11-12 hour drive, so that was a fun one.
Oh, yeah. And how'd you guys do in that one?
Not as good as we wanted. We finished 21st. So, yeah. I mean, it comes and it goes. It was community hole fishing. Jake drew the second to last spot in the lineup, so that didn't help our chances. But we still got in there, and we caught a few fish, but we didn't have the kicker crappies that we needed. So.
Now, for you guys listening that aren't familiar with the NAIFC rules, when Aaron said that Jake drew the second to last spot, that's you draw your starting spot. Mm-hmm. So you get a number, and then you line up, and that's the order you get to go out on the lake. So obviously you draw a lower number, you're out on the lake and got your choice of holes first. And if you've done your scouting, you know exactly where to go. Now, for those guys that don't get to go do a lot of scouting, a lot of times it's better to be in the back of the pack because you can go, oh, look, the best teams went that away. I know that a number of the guys like Chad and Chris have these big outlanders with tracks on them.
Yeah.
And I keep joking with Chris that I've put a notch with my pocket knife in one of his tracks so I'll know exactly which set of tracks are his and not Chad's, so I know which ones to follow when I go out there. What do you guys ride?
We have an old four-track squad Honda, which was really funny. During that tournament, there was so much snow, and after everybody was driving through for 4 days with the slush, and then it turned to ruts. And so it was kind of funny watching Jake as he would drive down, his arms jiggling, and he's trying to keep it straight. Meanwhile, I was on our old snowmobile that was just perfectly zooming across. So I wasn't complaining.
Yeah. Well, a lot of days I watch Steph on the big Outlander that he's got. He's got the 800. And I'm out there on my little Honda bouncing along because I'm too big a guy for that little Honda. I got to sell that. So speaking of which, anybody that's listening that's interested in a V65 Magna motorcycle, I've got a classic. It'll do 160 miles an hour, and send me a note. I want to make a deal because I need to buy a bigger quad. And I got to get that motorcycle out of my garage. Now, when you guys are out fishing, do you tight line or are you spring bobber? What's your preferred?
I used to be spring bobber only. My goal this year was to fun fish some more. Typically we do so many tournaments we don't get to go out and fun fish, so we got to do that. And then I wanted to start tight lining and long rodding some more, and so last year Kevin Fasben, we bought some long rods off of him, which are great. And then I've had Anthony and Mike Bodecker kind of teach me how to tight line, and I think I'm a natural. But so I think tight lining is my favorite. It might be my true calling, and I keep wanting to learn how to do more with it. So
I'll tell you, definitely on crappie, tight lining is the way to go.
Yeah.
Gills, I can go back and forth. I usually just go tight lining because that's what my equipment's set up for, but I do that. Mm-hmm. You'll see over there, I've got a couple of long rods set up that they aren't threaded up yet, that I have the similar goal is to do some long rodding this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I've set those up. So my boys at K&E got me a bunch of rods so I can try them. We're going to be talking a little bit about that at the show this weekend. I'm going to be at Hunt and Time Expo for a couple of seminars. Stop on down, even if we're not doing a seminar. We're going to be hanging around the booth area. I know K&E has some great deals in their Angler's Mart. That all year round equipment. You can come down and pick up ice fishing equipment, some of the other equipment. Just come on down and join us on it. It's a lot of fun. Hey, when we come back, we're gonna talk to the boys overseas and see what they're up to. And then after that, we're gonna come back and talk with Aaron a little bit more and see if we can find more secrets out about Jake. We're the MI Ice guys and a girl this week. Fishing hard water in the Great Lakes State.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hey guys, it's Chaz from MI Ice Guys, and we have a very special treat live from Bulgaria. our own MI Ice guys, hometown boys, Steph Sissel and Jake Meek, are in Bulgaria, sitting on top of a mountain, or at least looking at the mountains from the pictures I've seen. How is it, guys?
Doing good out here. Guys are on fish, and we're having a good time.
Good. I saw that you guys were catching some pretty decent sized ones, too. Chad got a hell of a roach the other day.
Yeah, there's some big roach out there and some decent sized perch. I got a couple nice ones today.
Awesome. So, Jake, how are you finding the bite compared to last year in Kazakhstan?
Well, this year is a lot faster than last year in Kazakhstan. There's no bream in the lake, and it's a perch bite, so we were doing pretty good. For the first time ever, we got really good bait, and so that bait is holding our fish, and nobody seems to be able to take it off of our stock. So it's just a matter of getting our put in the right positions come tournament time, and we do really well.
Well, awesome. Yeah, I guess we got my friends from Lithuania to thank for helping us out with a little bit of that and some advice that we've been adhering to over the years. So it's great we got bait that's actually on par with everybody else.
Yeah, hopefully we can send some video or some pictures of bloodworms. They're very lively, and so are the doctors. It's pretty cool. We actually have two different styles of jockers, which is new to us. And one's salty, one's sweet. One's a little bigger, one's a little smaller. And it seems to be working good. We're kind of putting together a little pattern, and we're finding the right zones and right depth of where they want to be.
Well, cool. Now, I did see that from a video that was posted on Facebook that Ben Bleegan has volunteered to be the official taste tester of jockers now.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what happens when you lose a bet.
Yeah, being a Tom Brady hater, he had to chew on some jockers I saw, but at least our good friend Chad Schaub was there with some Russian standard vodka to help him rinse it down.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, were those the salty ones or were those the sweet ones that he was on?
Salty,
okay. Sure. Well, those are better for drinking anyway.
We're learning more about bloodworms this year, taking care of them. We have to roll them in newspaper every couple of days, clean them, rinse them for competition day. The night before, we get them all prepped. Bloodworms and jockers get rinsed and washed. It's quite the process.
Well, that's really cool.
Yeah, they give off this, like, ammonia-type smell, and once that starts in, they die out real quickly, and if we don't do that.
Oh, great. Who taught us that one?
Lithuania.
Oh, yep. Man. Those are my boys, man. I'm going to go down to the Lithuanian Hall one of these nights and hoop it up and tell them what a help their guys have been.
Yeah, we appreciate their help. Brought them a bottle of Woodford Reserve. So.
Awesome. Well, if you get a chance to get a souvenir off the Lithuanian guys you can bring home, I'd love to be able to have a little something to hang up in the club when tell the story. But otherwise, how's the food? I know you're not living on jockers.
Food's been fantastic. I enjoyed it. Our first night here on the way here, we stopped by a Turkish restaurant and had some lamb kebabs,
Other meat, lamb, and beef put together. It's kebab. So.
Well, that's good. Tasty. Are they as good as those ones we found in Ukraine?
Pretty similar.
Okay, those were really good then.
Yeah. I took pictures of the grill that the Spitzer were on, and they did homemade bread in this open earth oven with wood going. Well, the bread was fantastic. We ate that with the meat. And they had, like, three different kinds of cabbage. You had red cabbage, green cabbage, and,
like, a whitish yellow.
Just kind of like a whitish yellow cabbage. They're very good. I liked it all.
Cool. Now, for a personal question, I always want to know, and all of my friends here back at the brewery always want to know, how's the beer?
Beer's been good. The ones I've had have been very good.
Yeah, they actually have a pretty good beer selection. Over here, as always, vodka.
Can't pronounce it. It's good beer. It's a Pilsner.
Well, take me some pictures. I'd be very interested in seeing that. I know that some of the countries we found absolutely fabulous beer. So always very much interested in that. So what's on the docket tomorrow? More measuring and around the zones?
Yep, we're going to finish up the last two zones. And then we're going to come back and hit a couple areas we want to, we have some big breaks in that we want to verify. And then we're going to help the Panoptix team. We got the 6-inch auger now. We didn't have it today, but we're going to do some Panoptix in tomorrow and get some intel and see what we can see inside these zones.
Cool. Now, did you end up taking a drill with you?
Yeah, I took one of the Milwaukee's, 18 volt.
All right, cool. And no problems charging it with that adapter you picked up?
I haven't found out yet, but still good on the batteries.
Okay, maybe you don't have to risk it.
Well, they've been using the adapter. Somebody else needed one, so they've been using mine, so it's been working fine for them. So I'm sure it'll work fine for my charger.
Good, good. Now, you guys said you got a Panoptix team. You know, a couple of guys going out working that?
Yeah, Myron.
Brett. Yeah, Myron and Brett are going to go with the Panoptix and kind of everything.
Okay.
There's some weird points that go into the zone that we don't have access to, so it'll be very crucial for us to put the fishermen right on that, you know?
Yeah, that would be very advantageous. One of the recommendations I gave Steph before he left, and I'll share with our listeners, is that a number of years ago when we were in the Ukraine, Steph and I found it very advantageous to drop a pair of holes or a triangle of holes to make a visual mark where some of those things were so that our spotters and anglers could, you know, narrow in on that and head for some structure when they find it.
Yeah, this year we did post on the maps.
Oh, every the posts are in permanent? Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So the guys know. Then we did the ones on the inside, the tweeners.
Yep.
Well, we got all the tweeners and all the posts marked on the map so they can go to post 3, post 2. They know the depth or where they want to start, so that's going to be good.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. Yeah, a lot of the people back here, I know we've talked about it, Steph and I have on the show, that the mapping over there is a very critical thing because not always do we have Navionics that we can just pull up on our phones on these things and see the detail that we need. And sometimes just, you know, 6-7 inches of bottom change can hold or spook the fish at times. So it's very important when the mapping happens that we make as many notes as possible on those things. So it sounds like you guys are on a great track with that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Did you guys get to go to the spa the other night?
Did we what?
To the spa? Not tonight.
Oh, that's tonight? All right. Well, I expect to get maybe a private report on what kind of special services or professional services Sean was talking about, whether they're the Bleegan kind or other.
Yeah, I have no idea. Probably other.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's great, guys. Any highlights? I saw you were eating at my favorite little beer in Worst Place there in Frankfurt on the layover, so that was cool.
Yep. Yeah, we got the sausage platter there with the 3 different kinds of sausage and some potato salad.
Awesome. Now, Bulgaria. Bulgaria, what have you guys been getting for breakfast?
Everything.
Oh, big smorgasbord, like
little hot dogs, you know.
Yeah.
Some fermented fish, if you really want to be risque and try some fermented fish, you can go for it, but I passed.
Oh, you passed. Oh, you're usually the bravest one on the trip.
Not for that one. I'll take a picture of it for you.
Yeah, get some pictures, because I know the guys back home would just love to see those when you do the story on that when we get back and wrap up on your return. Well, guys, it's been phenomenal. What time is it there?
10:47 p.m.
So you're just 5 hours, or no, you're 7 hours ahead of us.
7 hours, yep.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll go off my jigs, man.
Well, that's just flipping awesome, man. Well, I'm going to let you guys go, and we'll touch base again. And good luck, USA, man. Fish for gold.
All right.
Thank you. All right.
Guys, when you're out on the ice, do you protect your eyes? The MI Ice Guys have partnered with Costa Del Mar Sunglasses. Made in America, made by hand. The thinnest glass technology for sunglasses. 100% UV protection. We love our Costas so much, we took them to Finland, to the Worlds. They allowed us to see where other people had been drilling before, protected our eyes in the blowing snow, and kept us looking good on the ice. Made in America, Costa Del Mar Sunglasses. Get them online, get them at a local retailer near you. Remember, tell them the MI Ice Guys sent you, and you need the best.
Hey guys, it's the MI Ice Guys. Chaz in studio here, Steph and Jake live in Bulgaria, and special guest, Aaron, Jake's fiance, came in to help me do the show this week. And so she's getting to talk to Jake, you know, way overseas, live in front of all of you. Are you nervous, Aaron?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, don't be. It's just a bunch of ice fishermen. You're used to talking to those guys all the time.
I know.
But so the guys, we talked about the fishing a bit and stuff. But now I've seen some pictures, guys, about you guys got the van stuck.
So coming in, funny story. Coming into the hotel, the driver didn't really know where we were going to go. And we ended up two-tracking up an old pine logging road. And you could hear the van bottoming out all the way up the hill. And it was pretty hilarious. It was hilarious until we got stuck and everybody from the van had to get out and push. And it wasn't just one van that got stuck. There were three.
Oh, so it wasn't Myron, Steph, and Chad in the same van?
No. Oh,
okay, I just wanted to make sure that they did, that they dispersed the team properly and stuff. So so you guys had to get out and push.
Yeah, it was a very steep incline, and it was real icy. And it's a two-track, so try turning around three vans in a two-track. It was pretty difficult.
So you ended up having to turn around and go back down and come in the real drive?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, what an adventure.
We had to come from the hotel to show us where to go.
Oh, man. Well, you know, it sounds like some of our drives there in Ukraine when we were on those, what they called roads and stuff. So the road up to the lake, how is that?
The road up to the lake's kind of a switchback up the side of a mountain. It's got ups and downs and petrifying curves. You got double trailer logging trucks going.
Do they drive like the ones in the UP? Are those trucks running like the UP trucks? It's their road?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they own the road, trust me.
All right.
We have missed logging trucks by inches.
Mere inches.
Inches.
Just a bloodworm apart.
There's parts of this road that it just has a snowbank for a guardrail. There's no guardrail. It's just a sheer drop off the side of a mountain. The trees act as a guardrail.
How far do you think that drop off is? It's got to be 500 feet down.
Oh, easy. Yeah, easy. Not up the.
Have you stuck Kelly out the window to get a picture yet?
So much mud on the window.
Yeah.
It's hard to.
Oh, okay.
Over here, they don't put any salt or anything on the roads. What they do is they put dirt.
They got two guys in a truck with shovels, and they shovel sand on a 40-kilometer stretch of the mountain road
by hand.
Oh, yeah, man.
That's the Bulgarian way.
Yep.
Well, you'll have to get pictures of that, too.
Yeah.
But, we had a cold snap here while you guys have been gone. Right after you left, it dropped furiously down, and Big John Sitka and I went out on Reed's Lake stuff, and one spud throw, and it went through. So as you can imagine, we got back in the truck and went over to McEwen. So McEwen was up around 5 inches, but the fish are really screwed up from this cold, and then it was super, super cold on Monday and Tuesday. Then Tuesday night, it turned to slush, just falling out of the sky, and today's been rain. But that'll just knock the slush down, and then the next couple of days are supposed to be sub-zero again. So,
and we're supposed to get about 6 to 7 inches of snow tomorrow. and then 10 inches on Friday. So that trip up the mountain can be kind of precarious.
Yeah.
There's a possibility the practice day on Friday might not happen, or it could be shortened if they can't get up the roads, or we'll have to play it by ear on Friday.
All the locals are very nervous about tomorrow, and so that they probably are going to shut it all down on Friday. They're saying how tomorrow is going to be, you know, one of the worst drives. So,
do you take your own bucket of sand for the van now, or are you using Albright's Cthulhas?
We brought Liam.
I thought Liam was kind of mushy.
Yeah, it is.
Until it gets wet and then kind of get it sticky. And
yeah. Kind of dry, actually. But see, you combine it with the jockers and bloodworms and a little water.
Like a little mud ball.
Yep. And you guys are doing that so that you can make a bait bomb to go to the bottom, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, we're
either the bait bomb or putting it in the feeder and sending it down.
Right.
There's a lot of snow on the right now, so when you drill a hole, water comes up through the hole, so your bait bomb will just blow up right at the top of the hole instead of going down where you want it. So you're using the feeders.
I think Nipson said that he drilled a hole and he had water come out about a foot high, just shot straight out of the hole. There's so much weight on the ice right now.
So much pressure.
Wow. You gotta have to tell him to go on a diet there. Yeah. Now, is there another bet in the future for Bleegan, maybe with Liam?
Not right now. I don't think he's going to make that mistake twice, to be honest with you, Chaz.
All right. Well, that's good to hear.
On Super Bowl.
Yeah. We'll get him on at Super Bowl and stuff. So
we do have if we do medal over here, we have Brett Erickson saying that he's going to eat 4 ounces of bloodworms.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't put it past Brett. He travels all over the world and eats all kinds of weird things.
And Chad and I picked up a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. We're going to celebrate with that when we get our medals.
Awesome. Well, I want to see those medals, man. I want to see them hanging around your neck and get with that.
Yep.
It's kind of bumming me out. I'm missing all the adventures. But I tell you, we've been on some fish here. They're kind of, you know, picking at them because the bite is really, really delicate. Aaron, have you been out yet?
No. Jake doesn't let me go out by myself.
Oh, dear. Jake, I might have to take her fishing while you're gone, unless you hurry back.
Call Rocky. You'll go out.
Oh, yeah. Rocky will go any day. He's probably got the week off anyway because of the rain and slop.
True.
But, yeah, it's great talking to you guys. And by all means, pop some pictures up there. Steph, I know you can put them up on MI Ice Guys, and show us some of the weird stuff that doesn't always get onto the mainstream feed, because we know all us guys in Michigan care about the details.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, go USA, and it's great talking to you guys. Anything else pops up, man, shoot me a note, and we'll see if we can do another special event. I'm going to be down at Hunt and Time Expo this weekend. So I'm hoping to sneak out and do a little fishing around that. Maybe I'll talk Aaron into going and spotting a couple of holes for me. I'll loan her my Milwaukee. She might get spoiled, Jake. So you guys take care in Bulgaria and say good luck to the whole team for us, will you?
All right. Thanks, guys. You guys be safe.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Bye-bye. Chaz here from the MI Ice Guys. I want to talk to you about K&E stopper lures, especially the Scandia line of tungsten jigs. I've been having a great time fishing with these this year and last year. The new colors are awesome. Check them out. Get out there to your local sporting goods shop and look for that blue packaging with yellow text on it. Pick up a Scandia lure or 10. It's a whole lot of fun to fish with. They're bright, they're durable, and good stuff.
Hey guys, we got a special guest on the line, Mason, who's putting together the tournament for the Ferris State guys from the Ferris State Ice Fishing Club. Is that how you guys refer to yourselves?
We're a bass club, so we're the Ferris State. We're the bass fishing club. So this is just like an internal fundraiser to supplement our already school-given budget to allow us to do what we do in the summertime.
Well, cool, yeah. And since bass are out of season, you got to do something. Right, so It's great. So you guys got a tournament series coming up, right?
We do. It started last Sunday. We kicked off at the Haymarsh. We had a decent turnout. The weather was super cold, so that kind of, you know, limited people showing up. It was -9 degrees when we sent the guys out on the ice. We had 6 teams show up, so I mean, it wasn't a bad turnout, but we're looking to have a lot more teams participate in the upcoming tournaments.
Right on. Now, when's the next one?
This Sunday, 9 a.m. to 2 at Chippewa Lake. So Chippewa Lake's just outside of Big Rapids.
Yeah, a lot of our guys live up north of GR, so that's not a bad jaunt at all. So you guys, what's the format of your tournament? What are you going for? Number of fish?
So the way we set it up this year was we did open tournaments instead of like a closed series. So the tournaments pay out every single weekend instead of having like an accumulative champion at the end of the year, because that's what we got a popular opinion from people from. So they're just open tournaments. They're open to public. Anybody who wants to fish it, you know, old or young, it's open to anybody. So the way it's run is it's a panfish tournament, and you weigh in your biggest 16 fish that are caught during the time of the tournament.
Well, that's really awesome. Do you got any other prizes like big fish or anything like that?
We have a critter pot, so that's like a separate buy-in from tournament entries. And that's an extra $20, and that would be like any fish that is not in the tournament, but it's still a game fish, so like pike, walleye, like most things that you'd catch on like a tip-up or you'd run across jigging for just for pan fishing deeper water.
So if I go down and find me a big old 20-pound catfish, I probably got the pot?
Yep, that's a game fish, for sure.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much. I know we get questions here on MI Ice Guys a lot about other tournaments that, you know, aren't necessarily up at the pro level. The guys can just go out and do for fun. This is a great one we found on you guys, and hopefully years to come, you guys will keep us in the loop on these things. We're going to be posting the flyer that you emailed me up, but where else can the guys go to get some more information?
We have a Facebook page, so you could just look it up, Fair State Fishing Club. We have a public page, and everything's posted on there from the flyer, and then we have a link to our actual website through the university that's got everything else, and then we post all of our events so we can get people responding so we can maybe get a head count on who's going to show up in the morning. So that's another way you could reach out, and then another thing is people sharing it. That's a big thing for us is non-members that like on Facebook sharing it, and then we have flyers all over like Mount Pleasant area, Newaygo. We're working on getting some up into Cadillac.
Yeah, I noticed it in one of the ice fishing groups on Facebook. Somebody had reshared it, so that's how I got turned on to it. And hey, thanks so much for taking a couple of minutes, and hopefully we're going to be able to. I'm hoping to find a weekend to be able to jump in with you guys and fish. You know, we get a lot of tournament stuff going, and maybe if you guys don't have anything going there middle of February, we're running the NAIFC tournament up on Lake St. Helen. So that's a big time, and we'd invite any of your guys to come in if they think they got the stuff to play with the big dogs. Those guys bury a lot of money in it, though.
I got one more thing for you.
Sure.
So due to future unsafe ice conditions, the schedule says Hardy.
Yep.
Hardy Dam. But we went up there a couple weeks ago, and then we've been calling the county parks up there. And even after this, you know, 3-day deep freeze we got, Hardy is still not completely froze. So we won't put anybody on ice that is, like, under 6 inches just for, you know, safety.
That's
so
good.
We are not doing the Hardy tournament anymore. We're moving it to Clear Lake, which is you know, Big Rapids area again.
Sure.
But that is it's the same date as the Hardy tournament will be held, which is give me 1 second here. Hardy is February 10th, so Hardy is now Clear Lake on February 10th.
Well, awesome. I thank you so much for taking the time, and we'll Hopefully, if you got an updated flyer, feel free to email it over to me. I'll make sure that all of our MI Ice guys that listen all over the state get a notice of that, and hopefully some of them will come out to play. And I know that we should talk in the future, because I've got some other people that would be very interested in helping out in these tournaments. Because
awesome.
A lot of times we're tired of driving to North Dakota. So, hey, thanks so much, Mason, for your time. And that's the Ferris State Fishing Club. Scope them out on Facebook. Check them out. We'll also put a link on MI Ice Guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Hey guys, it's the MI Ice Guys. We're back, and wow, what stories from Bulgaria. We had to go get a fresh beer, that they were so exciting. So Aaron's in studio with me today, and we're going to wrap this show up with a little bit of talk about some fun fishing. You know, when you guys live up in the Cedar area, you guys, what's your favorite fun fishing lake? What's your Mr. Reliable lake?
Typically, it's honestly Cadillac.
Yeah.
And so we like to go to Cadillac, and then we go to the brewery that they have up there too. And it's just kind of a make a day out of it. That's our favorite place to go far away. If we go around home, it's probably Englerite or Pine. We haven't gotten a chance to go out on Wabasis or Whitefish ever, although we hear they're great.
Well, big Whitefish, I can tell you that we take Rocky. Chad's dad. Rocky's the master of that lake. I've never seen anybody pull more fish out of that lake than Chad and Rocky. The two of them get going, and there's a great little secret reef over there that a lot of our listeners are going to know where I'm talking about. But in a certain corner of that lake, you go over there, and there's this reef, and just off the side of it, there's a little bit of tall weeds, and you get between the reef and the tall weeds, and there's bluegill the size of dinner plates that come out of there, and Rocky gets crushing on them. The only problem with big whitefish is it's a walk. Unless that's a quad trip, you've got almost a mile walk to get over to the spot. And quite often the parking there at the boat ramp, it gets really congested really fast. So luckily I have a friend who's living up there while he's building a new house. He's living at the in-laws cottage. So we have an extra parking spot that we can go park and hide our quads by his house. And none of the neighbors are going to call us and tell us that we're parking on the street. True. Or any of those crummy things. We used to be able to park at a construction site that Rocky was working at. And that worked out very good. So when you guys are fun fishing, you mentioned at the start of the show that you're getting into the tight lining and you want to get into the long rod and stuff. You know, mostly targeting the bluegill with those, I imagine. Do you still go out like your tournament fishing and drill the hell out of it and then go explore, or do you just kind of plunk along?
Normally we drill the hell out of it and go explore. We kind of get bored sitting in one spot. So if we don't catch anything, we're moving around, and we never use a shanty at all anymore. And so we probably need to sell it, but we won't. And so usually we're hopping around and trying different stuff. With the tight lining and the long rodding, it's been great to help me transition to not using a Vexlar at all. And so that kind of leads into the palm rodding, such that Jake's been learning overseas as well.
So are you going to try out for USA?
Oh, I would love to, but the hole drilling is my downfall.
You mean Jake's going to have to put you on the manual drill for a little while?
Probably. I tried it the other weekend, and I'm like, there's only 3 inches of ice. How can I not do this?
Well, that, and it's also kind of funny that with the speed handles that we use overseas, one of the big things that I spot people doing is hitting themselves in the nose with the second handle, because they're not used to holding it as far from their body.
Right.
You know, they're used to tucking it in real close with that ball on top. And you can't do that with speed. Now, the other twist that we got is last year in Kazakhstan, you know, we're on 4 feet of ice. So we had the extensions all the way out on these things. And I'm not as tall as Steph. And it was even a reach for him to reach up to the handles and get cranking on these things. Then they handed us a counterclockwise. We called it old lefty. And you had to drill backwards.
What?
And we drilled 100 holes that day backwards. It was quite the challenge, but we got good at it. So now we can drill with either a right-handed or a left-handed auger.
Yeah.
Here in the States, nobody's ever seen a left-handed auger. So I told the boys, if they get an opportunity to bring a lefty home, I'd like to have it just for demonstration purposes. It'd be kind of fun.
I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Yeah, the Russians, Ukrainians, several of those, even the Kazakh team, all use counterclockwise. And I don't know why. I thought it had been an Australian thing. But
I was going to say the same thing.
No, that part of the world, they drill counterclockwise with their augers. And it really threw me off the first time I had to use one. And, you know, I tried a backwards one the first time in Ukraine. And it was really squirrely. And we got a video of Chad using one for the very first time, I think in Finland. And it was pretty funny to watch him adjust to it. Now we all just switch back and forth. I don't know if Jake, we'll have to ask Jake when he gets home if he got to try a left-handed auger.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun. So one of the things I've been finding this year as I've been out fishing is that the bite's very, very finicky. And this warm, cold, super cold, warm, cold, slush, everything has got the fish so messed up. We've had fronts coming through. I mean, I think Saturday, the first front that came through came from the west. The second one came from the north. And then I think the one came from the south. It was just messed up. And the fish, I scuba dive. And my ears are fairly sensitive because scuba diving, you have to clear your ears as you go down. And these pressures that were hitting and then disappearing all day made it quite the challenge. We got a dozen fish in like 6 hours on a little lake that usually produces pretty good fish. And it was tough. But one of the tactics that Chad figured out and that I've been using on a couple of lakes is fishing just off the edge, about a foot off the edge of a weed bed. Jigging like you're banging on a drum, just really working it and trying to draw those big fish out of the cover. The little ones, they'll only dodge out so far. So if you're getting little ones, drill another hole another 8 inches away and see if you can sort them out, because the concept of sorting with a bigger jig this year hasn't worked for me. I've been staying on tiny jigs all season because it's just not working. What have you guys been finding?
Kind of similar. Since Jake went overseas, we got a lot more of those tiny jigs that you simply can't find them here. And so we've been trying those out a lot more. We use those in the tournaments, and it kind of evens out those little fish. And I can't think of it.
Well, Erin's been doing a great job today. It's been her first time recording with us and stuff. We'll bring her back another time, but I'm not sure about bringing her back at the same time as Jake. I think I like them separate, because otherwise they're just going to sit here and stare at each other. About that stuff, but. You know, season got off to a slow start this year, but it's coming on. The ice is getting pretty safe to walk around Grand Rapids here. North of Grand Rapids, hey, the quads are busting out up Cadillac. Steph and I were up to Cadillac with Chad, and I snuck up there another time. The quads and snowmobiles are prolific up there. Around here, I think maybe by this weekend, north of town will be on with the quads, but you're going to want to be very careful about it, because as we were just talking, as we were getting a beer with a couple of patrons up at the bar here at Schmoe's, there's going to be some honeycombing, because all this slush and snow, if it didn't get quite warm enough for it to get packed down with the rain, there's going to be some air gaps in there. And that can be a little unnerving when you go through. And it can also give you a false positive and make you think that maybe I can, you know, put a quad out on this ice that you really shouldn't. So you guys need to be very careful about that. I was telling people earlier that, you know, one spud throw through last Saturday on reeds, and I said, we're going to a different lake. hopefully this weekend we're going to be a little bit better at that. And I'm hoping that between my stints at the Hunt and Time Expo, I'm going to sneak out somewhere and catch some fish. I might think about going to Emerald. That might be a nice little hidden one. They got some good perch in there. So that might be some fun. Any last thoughts, Aaron?
No. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming over and helping out while the guys are over enjoying fermented fish for breakfast, Steph said, and getting stuck on two tracks in the Bulgarian mountains. It was kind of surprising to hear how close to Greece they are. But I guess you get to the bottom of the mountain, it changes countries. But up in the mountains, it's Bulgaria. So we're wishing the best for them. You can follow some of the hot stories on MI Ice Guys on Facebook or follow USA Ice Team on Facebook. And you can even probably find the video of Ben Bleegan losing the bet and eating Jockers. And for those of you who don't remember, Jockers are the baby bloodworms. So yes, he's eating bait. So we're the MI Ice Guys and our Drill Maiden here ducking hard water fishing in the Great Lakes State. You guys be safe out there and catch a lot of fish. Say hi if you come down to the show. We will talk to you soon.
MI Ice Guys would like to thank you for joining us once again for one of our podcasts. Be sure to subscribe on miiceguys.com so that you don't miss any of our tips and hear a little bit about our fishing stories. Be safe out there, guys. Enjoy the fishing. It may thaw soon.